Welcome to Two Songs, One Couple, where a geeky metalhead husband swaps songs
with his nerdy country girl wife. Grab a drink, get comfy, and join us on our musical chat. Welcome to part two of our celebration of Arab American Heritage Month.
Yay!
So last week we kind of borked it a bit with the definition of what is an Arab country.
Oh, did we now?
Well, we named the Arab countries, but we weren't quite sure what makes an Arab country. And I'm still not quite sure because I'm not a historian and the amount of research that I do for these things is not very deep. Very surface level. I'm sure there's a lot more to it.
Of course, but we're going to stay in our lane.
Yeah.
And our lane is critiquing each other's music.
Yeah.
At the same time, we want to educate ourselves, at least somewhat, on what we talk about.
An Arab country is generally considered to have their official language as Arabic.
Okay.
You asked about Pakistan last time. Why weren't they an Arab country?
No.
Also, Afghanistan.
I think I asked about Iran. Did I ask about Pakistan too?
And Afghanistan, yeah.
I thought I brought up Pakistan because of the whole notion where, you know, sometimes Arabic gets confused with being Muslim.
That too. You did bring that up. It often gets muddled and confused.
Yeah. I was muddled and confused in part one, is what you're saying.
I was too. I'm saying we were.
I feel like we're still confused.
So, there are several places where there's a high population of Muslim.
Mm-hmm.
Indonesia has high concentrations of Muslim people.
Yes.
Pakistan, Afghanistan, Iran.
Right.
But it doesn't mean it's an Arabic country.
Their main language
is official language is Arabic if it's an Arab country. And I'm sure that has to do with government stuff and how official languages are decided.
Oh, I'm
like
sure.
Pakistan, for example, Urdu is the official language, but Iran would be more considered Persian.
Ah, well, thank you for clarifying that, because it is an area where it's a little unclear in my brain what specifically makes like an Arab country. And so that totally makes sense that, you know, an Arab country, the major language or official language is Arabic. That's pretty simple. And I don't know why it was so confused in my brain.
Because Arabic in my head is just all Middle Eastern countries.
Yeah.
Which is not true, because it includes a lot of North African countries as well. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't include all Middle Eastern countries. So it's a little clearer. I'm not going to say it's 100% clear yet, because I'm still learning.
Mm-hmm.
It's become a little more clear in my head. So that's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. I mean, isn't that kind of the point of Arab American Heritage Month? To get mm-hmm. people to talk about it and learn about it and give them the credit that they're due,
mm-hmm.
you know, for everything that they have done.
Mm-hmm.
For society and continue to do.
Yeah.
I feel like we're segueing into the music, but I want to talk about one other thing.
What else is going on?
Yeah. So I am quite sad to report that the one and only country station in our area has been bought.
Wah, wah.
Shocking. I know.
Sad day.
I know.
Bought by who?
I don't know who exactly, but I think they're connected with a Christian music or religious music station. You know, ultimately, I don't think it's going to remain a country station. Maybe it will. You don't know. But I think at the end of this year, I'm going to have to actually do a lot of work to find songs on Spotify or somewhere else, because my radio station is going away.
Oh, sad.
I know.
No, you're going to have to deal with the infinity amount of music that you have in your pocket.
I know.
Rather than the 10 songs they play on the radio.
I
That's
know.
So terrible.
It is.
Oh, no. I'm not sad that the country station is leaving.
I know. You hate them. I have a love-hate relationship. You have a hate relationship with them.
In general, though, radio stations are getting gutted, cannibalized, absorbed, whatever you want to say, by mm-hmm. bigger corporations, by essentially the bottom line, the lowest common denominator. And that usually is top 40. You take a look at Live 105, which just bit the dust. It used to be an alternative. Back in the 90s, it was huge with like grunge and stuff like that.
Yeah, it was an alternative rock station.
Yeah, and over the years, it's kind of tried to keep up, but trends come and go, and people move on. Less people are listening to the radio, and if they're not getting the ratings, they get desperate, and they start going top 40, and they start going least common denominator. What can keep the most ears on our radio station?
Maroon 5.
Ugh. Trash.
But that's what happened with Live 105 in particular, is it shifted towards very poppy rock that was also on top 40, like you were saying.
Yeah.
And then you completely like lost your major fan base that was looking for more like indie rock or alternative.
Country, though, is a little surprising because that fan base in general does share similarities with metal heads, mm-hmm. where we like physical media.
Mm-hmm.
Country fans like to be old school and they like to listen to country radio. So it's surprising to me that potentially getting rid of the country station here.
Yeah, I mean, it's not super surprising, though, because our area, I think country listeners are a pretty small portion of the population in our area.
Mm-hmm.
At least in our area, I think country music fans are similar to metalheads in that they need to now search for it offline, right? Yeah. Like, there's no metal station in this area. If it is, yeah. it's like a small college station, right? That doesn't get a lot of airway and doesn't have the reach that like a major radio station would have.
Right.
I am unlike Peter. I am unlike you. I don't actively search out new music. I passively find it while I'm commuting to different places in my life. So it's like in the car. That is when I listen to music. So now it's going to be a pretty big shift for me that I'm going to have to actively say, I want to listen to music now.
Mm-hmm.
Really, I'm going to have to go to my computer. I don't have anything on my phone. Like, I'm very like technophobic when it comes to my phone. You know who I am with my phone. You have married this beast. I barely got a smartphone like a few years ago.
I'll download it for you.
We will see.
I'll connect it to your car. You just got to hit play.
Yeah, maybe. That is like my struggle now. It's like, I love how that's the struggle. That's the struggle
I face. Here's what you do. Go to Spotify, find something called This Country or Modern Country. They usually update those playlists every week. Yeah. And then you'll see new shit. That's it. That's all you got to do.
Anyway, so that was a very long intro into my sadness. And also like a reminder that we are, again, celebrating Arab American Heritage Month. So let's segue on into some songs by some Arab artists that we've dug into for your listening enjoyment.
Okay.
All right.
Let's start with you. What you got for me?
All right, so I have a song from Mashru Leila. They are a Lebanese band who has an American, wait, no, Lebanese American singer. And the song is their breakout song from 2010, their self-entitled album, Mashru Leila. And the song is Raxit Leila.
Okay.
What do you think? I'm very excited about this one.
This was cool.
Period. You don't have to say anything else. Yay! Why? 5 out of 5.
No, wait. Yes. Why are you stopping me?
Because I don't want you to poo-poo it.
How do you know I'm going to do that?
Okay, fine. Go.
Okay, so the song started and it's like guitar on the offbeats. So it's like I was like, oh no. What did you give me?
Oh, because it's very reminiscent of ska, your arch nemesis. It has like
a reggae-ish, but not reggae. Kind of like that train song that goes, hey, hey. It's not reggae, but it has that feel.
Yeah.
So I thought, what did you give me? How dare you? And then once the violin came in, I was sold.
Right.
So the violin comes in and it sounds quote unquote oriental.
Mm.
That oriental music tag that we talked about the you last think it episodes.
Sounds oriental?
Yeah. In the sense that they have defined it as Middle Eastern sounds.
Oh, that's
classical Middle Eastern.
Farts. I totally forgot that was the official title of that genre. Because to me, it sounds like klezmer and like, you know, that very...
would also be considered...
Oriental. Mm-hmm. That's such bullshit. It's like, very confusing me.
In general, it's like Eastern sounds, if you want to put it in a bigger umbrella, like Middle Eastern, Asian, Southeast Asian, Indian, like all of that stuff.
That's all captured under Oriental.
Yeah.
That's such bullshit, because it's just like capturing all of Africa under the title of Africa.
Yeah.
Because there's so many like sub-genres or sub-sounds.
Of course.
In that umbrella. So of it's course. Like this is very distinct sound from like what you would hear coming out of, say, India or Southeast Asia or Japan. You know what I mean? Like all of those things, it just seems like a disservice to everybody to lump that under Oriental. It is,
yeah. But I mean, you can also say Western music. What does that mean, right? Western music could mean music from the USA. It could mean music from England, from
Western
the UK.
Western Europe.
It could even be like France. In the same way, Eastern music, Oriental music is, it's a huge umbrella and doesn't mean much.
Yeah, can we stop using it? I don't like that. I cringe every time you say it. I'm like,
I know, but there's a very fine line too, because when you call things Oriental,
yeah,
that's okay, apparently, because people say Oriental rugs.
True. Oriental vase.
Oriental vase, Oriental area, Oriental music. I'm not saying it's okay, but people tend to still refer to objects as Oriental.
Yeah.
Whereas calling people Oriental has gone out of fashion.
Yeah.
So just the word. Just the word itself is like, ooh, it feels weird saying it or hearing it. I know that.
Yeah.
But I'm taking it back.
Okay. Back to the song.
Yeah, it's cool that the violin comes in
mm-hmm.
and it has very Arabic sounding, and in this case, Lebanese.
I love that sound too.
Sounding like whatever scale they use or mm-hmm. whatever. Whatever it is, it has that sound to it. And I'm like, okay, I like the blend of fucked up reggae with the blend of Arabic classical music
mm-hmm.
mashed the two together. It sounds good. It works. It doesn't sound like they're trying to force it. They've found a good way to integrate it.
Totally.
The vocals come in and the dude sounds kind of tired. He's like, meow, 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 meow. But I got over that. It's not a big deal.
Does he sound tired or drunk?
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of like background noise or effects that they include in it that makes it sound like they are singing or performing this song in a bar.
I can see that.
Right. Yeah. Which made me love it even more. You know what I mean? Because it's just kind of like a lighthearted, fun song where it's like it would be great to like listen to while you're drinking some beer, chilling in a bar with live music back in the days before the pandemic, right? Yeah, like it brings me back to that place and it made me smile.
Yeah, I can totally see how you put this in a bar like in the cantina in Star Wars. Where it's this, or how about this? When you have a Western movie, action adventure, and these Westerners fly to a Middle Eastern country to fuck shit up and do what Americans do to other countries and poke their heads in and invade and be Americans.
Uh-huh.
They visit quote-unquote seedy town. They always depict it as a seedy town because I guess Arabic countries are seedy because it's fucked up. But now that I think about it,
mm-hmm.
it's always that stereotype of we got to be careful. We're in a foreign country. We're going to get robbed. We're
stabbed.
Yeah. And they go to the seedy-ass bar to meet the seedy-ass dealer to make a deal to get the thing, to get the MacGuffin.
Then it ultimately helps justify why Americans are fucking shit up outside of their own borders.
Yeah, that was my initial impressions.
So I'm curious, like, what did you think about that little like breakdown in the song?
Are you talking about the Latin jazz part?
Yee!
Yeah.
I was going to say salsa, but I didn't want to give it away. I wanted to know if, like, in my brain, it matched your brain, and it looks like your brain's totally matched.
Salsa is even better, even more accurate. It was cool. Like, it was another genre mesh. It was the salsa music, but the singer was doing, what is it called?
Melisma.
Melisma or melismata. One's the singular and one's the...
Correct. Plural.
Plural version. Thank you. And he was doing melismata over salsa. And
yes.
It's another blend of two different genres, East and West. And
right? It was
really cool.
I loved that part. And then I think I heard a tabla. Tabla? I'm not sure how to pronounce that.
The Indian drum?
I thought it was Middle Eastern. Tabla.
Could be, but I know it to be very prominent in Indian classical music.
Yeah, that's true too. But like, I know in like Jewish songs and stuff like that, we say like, raise your tabla.
Oh, okay. Okay. I didn't know. It was more of a, okay.
Like that particular sound, it's like a slightly higher pitched tom.
Like congas or mm-hmm. bongos.
It has a different sound than like the typical Latin toms or mm-hmm. drums.
Yeah. Similar to how a sitar sounds versus a guitar.
Yeah.
A tabla versus a conga.
Yeah.
Has the same difference
yeah. in sound.
It doesn't have a boom to it, that's but it true. Also has blung, blung, like a high but one.
Like a higher, yeah, pitch. Like, because if you play it on like the rim a little bit more and then to get that boom, yeah. you go in towards the middle of the drum more.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God. I'm sure listeners are loving this.
Oh yeah. Follow up to last week. That sound that we were describing is a cowbell sound from a Roland CR-800, I think. It's like a drum machine.
Don't you mean the bring, bring?
I mean, bang, bang.
Bring, bring.
Bing, bing, ba-dang, dang.
Bong, bong.
Bong, bong.
Bring, bring.
Boom, boom,
is it bring, bring? Just anyway. So that the listeners know, like, after we recorded that, we were making that mouth noise for, like, a whole solid week.
We still do it. Just walking down the street, walking our dogs. Boom, boom.
And I go, no. Bring, bring.
That should be our call when we're out, like, at the grocery store or the farmer's market. And oh, I can't find you.
Yeah.
Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
And I'll call back. Bring, bring.
Yeah.
Anyway, I think we're nuts.
We are nuts. So tabla sound, salsa, melismata. There's a lot of genres smashed into this song. It's awesome.
Yeah, so it's no wonder. So this song was their breakout hit, and it also got them a record deal. And so oh, nice. This was like the beginning of a very big career, because this is not like a teeny tiny indie artist that we're talking not? About.
Okay.
No, it's new to you and me, but yeah. I think it's because we are very sheltered in our musical genres right now. Like, we have not branched out all that far. So Mashu Leila has been called the most popular indie band in the Arab world. They are the first Middle Eastern artist to be on the cover of Rolling Stone. They're huge, and they're huge for like good reasons, right? Like, one is the music, number one. Mm-hmm. And then the other reason is because they use their music similar to like Rage Against the Machine to address cultural taboos and, you know, political issues.
So I take it it's like social awareness, social yeah. justice, that sort of thing that they put into their lyrical content. Being where they're from, I imagine that can be a little controversial.
Yes, especially since a lot of their topics center around the LGBTQ community.
Ooh, that's taboo over yes. there.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's taboo over here too.
Well, it's taboo-er. Taboo-er.
I think the lead singer has come out as gay. I don't know if others in the band have as well, but the mm-hmm. lead singer has definitely come out as gay, and they have definitely made a lot of statements pushing for LGBTQ rights, and especially within the Arab world. And so that topic alone is very controversial. And then if you add on top of that some other political topics like pro-democracy or gender rights, they've talked about as well. So it's a band that has really pushed the boundaries of different things, but it's also, of course, brought along some controversy. So, yeah. you know, with that controversy comes canceled shows and all that fun stuff. So they've managed to piss off many religious leaders, including Catholic religious leaders in Lebanon, who pushed for the cancellation successfully of their 2019 concert in Lebanon. And so that was like the latest controversy. I love this band for many, many reasons. One, the music, but two, also their stance on trying to get people to realize that people are people.
Mm-hmm.
And mm-hmm. they deserve the same rights as everybody else.
I also saw that they initially formed because they were escaping the stress of school, as well as the 2008 Lebanon conflict, which I don't know much about what this is. It's like a quote-unquote brief. I don't know what that means in the terms of war, but it's a brief intrastate military conflict between opposition militias and pro-government Sunnis.
Intrastate, so within Lebanon. So it's like an internal Lebanese conflict yeah. that I'm sure was not fun for everybody.
I don't know how long it lasted. I don't know what it entailed. I just know that there was this conflict. There was school. They were stressed out.
Mm-hmm.
Let's play music and That's one of the great things about music. It's get your mind off things. It relieves stress. It's healing.
Right.
And look what's come out of it. This band came out of it and they're crushing it.
Yeah. And so don't take this song as reflective of their current musical.
Oh, they've evolved over time. That's even better.
Yeah, they have definitely evolved. So I think in the beginning, they were a little bit more indie rock or alternative rock.
Yeah.
Similar to like Queen. That's why I loved this song, because I was like, oh, this sounds like Queen. And a little bit of Pain of Salvation, like Road Salt in there, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so I was like, oh, that's awesome. If you listen to some of their other albums that are a little bit more recent, it's a little bit more on the pop side.
Okay.
But it's still really good.
Yeah.
It's just definitely a different sound.
You know what that song is actually about?
It's about a dance, right? The name of the song is translated to Layla's Dance. Okay. So it's kind of like a fun, lighthearted song about Layla and her dance.
That makes a lot of sense. It's danceable, especially the salsa.
Did you look up the lyrics?
I have a translation, but it's awful.
What's the translation?
I mean, there's not many lyrics to it, but it goes, not everything is of good use, and I'm between you and me 2 million. See, look at that.
Oh, yeah.
Sing about Alba Tangan, everything except how tired, two-way situation. This doesn't mean much.
Oh, it feels like it's a literal translation. Yeah. And it needs some like work to adequately transcribe it back to English verse. Also, their name, Mashru Layla, it can mean two things.
Uh-huh.
It can mean Layla's project, or it can mean an overnight project. And so they were they were playing around with that early in their career. They liked to tease the press and be like, oh, I don't know. It could be this. It could be that. But then they finally came out and said, no, it's an overnight project. Yeah. Okay. Like you were alluding to and discussing earlier, they were born out of this kind of like overnight jam session.
Yeah.
So I think that's ultimately where it came from.
That's cool.
Yeah. All right. So out of 5 lovely dancers, what would you rate this song?
Out of 5 lovely dancers, I would rate this 5 out of 5.
Yeah. What?
Despite the initial impression of, what the fuck song did you give me? It quickly redeemed itself with the violin coming in. The mashup of East and West, indie rock meets classical Arabic music. The breakdown in the middle with the salsa, melismata, the transition in and out of that, all of that. Makes me rate it 5, and it makes me super curious about this band. It looks like they have, 4 albums?
Uh-huh.
So going through their discography wouldn't be too much of an ask when it comes to time. It makes me curious. I want to hear more.
Yay!
And the background of the band, I do like what they stand for. They're fighting for rights in a country that may not accept them for who they are. And fighting for those rights is even more important and could potentially be dangerous in a country such as Lebanon. As far as I can tell, that's my impression. I don't want to lump all Arabic countries into one thinking that they're all going to disappear you into the night for saying something wrong.
And Lebanon, though, is considered one of like the more open Arabic societies.
That's good.
But still, they struggle just like we do with certain topics.
Mm-hmm.
To oversimplify things.
Yeah.
Right? It's a difficult thing, no matter where you are, to speak up for what you believe in, right?
That's true. But certain places are more dangerous to do that than others.
True. It's hard for us to judge because what we see is through a Western lens.
Yeah.
We've never visited the country. We've never been over there.
Whenever we visit a place, or at least whenever I visit a new place, mm-hmm. and I have this stereotype of it, a lot of times it's not what I think it is. We visit the South and not all people are dickholes there. There are a bunch of, there's also a lot of liberals there. Then yes. You look at California, which is stereotypically a hippie state,
mm-hmm.
and it's all liberals. That's not true.
Oh, totally.
You drive a few hours out, you're basically in a red state.
Right. Yeah.
So the stereotype of, you know, the Middle East can be a little dangerous. That may not be the case.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only one way to find out. We should visit.
Yes.
I would love to visit Lebanon.
Me too.
Syria, Tunisia, you know, all these Arab countries that we know so little about.
Yeah.
We should really like get over there, put our feet on the ground, talk to people.
Eat some good food.
Yeah. Eating the food mm-hmm. is a great way to know somebody's culture.
Oh, totally.
You don't even need to speak the same language. You just, you know, everyone eats food.
Yeah, that's
universal.
You shove it in your mouth. You enjoy.
Oh, what are you talking about now?
Well, I'm excited to hear your song. What do you have for me?
Okay, the song I gave to you is Atbaz El Namrud. It's by El Namrud. It's from their 2008 EP, Atbaz El Namrud. All right, what'd you think?
It was good. It started off with the Arabian Nights sound where it's either reeds or horns. And then you have like the tablas, the percussion, the drums coming in.
Yeah.
And you're like, all right, you're setting the mood. And then it starts to layer on more and more modern sounding things. Mm-hmm. Like it starts to lay on the heavy guitar. Well, actually, the heavy guitar kind of just sneaks in.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, I'm a snake. Right? It's like...
Is that what snakes sound like?
Yeah. Well, that's what the heavy guitar snake sounds like.
Heavy guitar snake?
Yes. There's a very specific type of snake. But yeah, so the heavy guitar sneaks its way in there. And then all of a sudden it's like, I'm not fucking around no more. Bam! In your face. Here's the double bass. Here's some Cookie Monster growls. Mm-hmm. Rah, rah. I'm going full on metal. Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I'm like, okay. And then while it's keeping that metal like up front, mm-hmm. it keeps the Arabian Night horns in the background. And then every now and then those horns come back to the front and then it layers in some claps. There's a lot of layers.
Yes, there is.
Right? You could totally peel back if you wanted to. I definitely caught myself banging my head to it. Right? It's a good rhythm. Cookie Monster growls are not my favorite.
Yeah.
But it wasn't obnoxious, mm-hmm. so that's a plus.
Yay.
There was some interesting rhythmic things going on. I'm not positive, but I think there were electric drums.
I really don't know enough about the instrumentation on this song to tell you.
The double bass drum was just a little too mechanical.
It could have been a drum machine that they used. It mm-hmm. could have been they used triggers. And if you don't know what triggers are, they are these things that you place on acoustic drums, but no matter how hard or soft you hit it, it's the same consistent sound. And it unfortunately makes it sound a little more electronic.
It definitely was a little too perfect. It had that sense of like being a train, right? Like the chugga 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 chugga. Like it's very perfect.
Yeah.
But I think they were meaning to do that because it's a little hypnotic too, right? Mm-hmm. So even if they weren't meaning to do it, I'll give them the credit.
Okay.
Because it adds to the song, right?
Yeah.
And then there's this one part of the song that I'm curious if you caught on to or not. You know that thing that you do that drives me absolutely fucking bonkers? Where
with my toes?
No. No. Oh, barf. I threw up a little bit in my mouth. No, let's not talk about the toes. This is the thing where like I'm tapping out a rhythm and you decide to go just off
that
rhythm.
Yep.
They are using that. Did you catch it?
No.
They did it. It's right around 247 where they start it. Mm-hmm. And if you listen with headphones, it's like this ghost rhythm that you hear that's like just off. I'm like cringing. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, why? Why is this off? And I was like, you motherfuckers are doing what Peter does to drive me bonkers when I'm like finger drumming and you want to get on my nerves.
I didn't catch that in this song. I'll re-listen to that, but that could be evidence of the drums being real. Whereas the drummer is just slightly off. This is a low budget affair. You can tell.
I couldn't.
Sounds a little scuffed. Like they were in a dungeon or a basement. They didn't really have good recording equipment and they put together what they could with the technology they have.
I'm actually really surprised because I did not catch on to the low budgetness of it because maybe I just attributed that to the sound that they were going for.
To take a step back a little bit, they are a Saudi Arabian black metal band.
Ah.
And when it comes to black metal, a lot of it was done that way. They had no budget. They were in a basement. They had like a Casio keyboard maybe to make some fucking drum and bing boom sounds. And
bring, bring.
All comes back to that. So a lot of it sounds that way traditionally, just because of budgetary limitations. And a lot of bands with modern production will still try to reproduce that sound because that's how black metal came about. I don't know if this band did that on purpose or if they really didn't have the technology to or the means to record, which I can see. And I say that because they are an underground band. Very underground band.
Excuse my ignorance, but isn't all black metal inherently underground?
It is, but I say especially underground because of the lyrical content and what the government would do to them if they found out who they are. And to step back again, yes, they're a black metal band, but all their identities are anonymous.
Oh.
So I don't know any of their names. And they do that intentionally because of the lyrics that they use are anti-government, anti-religion. And in that area of the world, it can get them killed.
Gotcha.
You can get them arrested in the least, but much worse things can happen. So
wow.
This is words they've said, and they've conducted some interviews, but they've still remained anonymous. And they said that they want to remain anonymous because they don't want to get in trouble with the government in such a way that puts their lives in danger.
Jeez. And I don't mean to make fun, but at the same time, I could not understand a single word
of their lyrics. The first thing is it's growled. The second thing is it's in Arabic, so you wouldn't understand it. You're not supposed to understand it unless you speak Arabic. And the third thing is, I couldn't find the lyrics anywhere. They don't publish the lyrics on purpose.
Interesting.
Because they don't want an official record of, this is what we said.
Oh.
Because the government could say, hey, this is what you said. We have proof of your blasphemy.
Yeah. Do you think then that if we understood Arabic, that we would be able to understand their growls?
At least in the grand scheme of death metal and black metal growls, they are more clear than, let's say, Dying Fetus as an example. Perfect example of a band that everybody knows and loves.
Dying Fetus.
And their lyrics are, they're very tough to make out unless you're actually reading them.
Uh-huh.
So in the grand scheme of things, El Nemrud, their growl style, I feel if I spoke Arabic, I would be able to make out some of it at least. Mm-hmm. Not all of it, maybe not all of it. I would be able to make out some of it.
And enough to potentially get them in trouble.
Potentially, but once again, maybe they purposely growl their lyrics because they don't want it to be 100% audible. Mm-hmm. So the government can hear it and say, hey, you guys have done this shit. And they're like, no, we're just going growl, growl. What are you talking about? You know?
Yeah, that totally makes sense and makes me sad all at the same time.
We just talked about your band, your song. They're from Lebanon, which is in the Arab world, tends to be more progressive, relative, right?
Yes.
Saudi Arabia, a little more conservative.
Yeah.
What was it recently? They just let women get
driver's licenses?
Yeah. That is a recent development. So you can get a sense of how conservative this country is.
Yeah.
And so they're hiding their identities because they kind of need to.
It's very brave of them to pursue and to continue to do their art.
Mm-hmm.
Kudos to them. And it's good metal. Their drummer, I think, is like very talented and in layering lots of different rhythms and different drums.
Yeah, I really liked that. It wasn't just traditional drums. There were some Middle Eastern tablas. It sounded like a tabla that may have been in there too.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, just throwing all that in there and mixing black metal with Oriental music. Mixing black metal with classical Arabic music.
Yeah.
I love genre blends. Just love it.
I do. I could live without the transition towards a scary movie soundtrack.
It does sound like it could come out of an old John Carpenter movie.
Yes, totally.
Yeah.
Like I was getting vibes of like Michael Myers.
Yeah, see, this is why metalheads love synthwave. It's because John Carpenter used a lot of these sounds in his soundtracks. Okay, let's talk about the band a little more.
Okay.
As I said, they're Saudi Arabian, they're black metal, they're anonymous. They purposely named their band El Nemrud. It's another name for Nimrod, which we equate to idiot.
Yeah.
But historically, Nimrod was a Babylonian king.
Yeah.
And they chose that name because it was a defiance against religion.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, El Nemrud translates to non-believer, essentially.
They're making a very clear political stance even with their
name.
Even
with their name, yeah.
They are actively putting themselves out there through this music.
Yes. They are.
Good for them.
They are purposely going anti-establishment there.
Mm-hmm.
And when it comes to bands here that took on Christianity and went anti-Christian, it caused some controversy. It stirred some pots.
Mm-hmm.
It messed with some Christians' heads. But what was the worst that could happen to them?
They could get arrested.
Here? Does that happen here?
Well, they broke up concerts and, you know, similar to like with the whole gangster rap thing, right? Like you can have the police breaking up your concerts.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, you can get kind of beat up behind the scenes. But yeah, technically you're not supposed to, you know, have your life threatened from your art.
Yeah.
And I think it's not as prevalent as, say, in Saudi Arabia, but I'm sure, you know, people have gotten pretty fucked up over here doing very similar things.
Oh, true, true. That is a good point. However, just by the letter of the law,
yeah,
it should be allowed, right?
Correct, correct.
I mean, that doesn't mean people won't do anything.
Right.
In Saudi Arabia, and you go anti-religion there, yeah, it's a whole different ballgame.
That's true.
It is, I believe it to be way more dangerous.
Yes.
And Carl Sanders of Nile, leave it to a white guy to tell me, he says that bands that go anti-Christian is just so old hat and it's not very risky anymore. He says if you do an anti-Islam, anti-Muslim song, that can be potentially more dangerous. And bands that take that on have bigger balls, so to speak.
Yeah.
He's a vocalist and guitarist in a metal band from, I think, North or South Carolina. They do a lot of Egyptian themes.
Mm-hmm.
They're called Nile, first of all. Nile River. Egypt is an Arabic country.
Mm-hmm.
So he has dabbled in some Islam lyrics. Nobody cared because I guess nobody knows Nile. If he was a band from Saudi Arabia, from an Arabic country doing anti-religion, he says that it could potentially be more dangerous.
Yes, I agree with that point that if you live in that area and you are doing political activism in any art form, yes, it is going to be more dangerous. What I'm cringing at is a white guy from North Carolina thinking that he can criticize in the same way.
Yeah, right. Yeah, that's why I put that caveat out front. This is a white dude. This is a white dude saying this.
That's why I'm like, and if Nile in particular then goes anti-Islam, well, it can come off more as racist than if somebody within that culture is kind of self-criticizing.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it all comes back to the fact that they know their own culture and their own society better than anybody else.
True.
So, yes, it takes more balls for them. Because they have more at risk, they also have more to gain from anything getting better from their activism.
Yes.
And so I think Nile needs to let them take the lead on those activities and focus on their ancient Egyptian fantasy la-la music.
Absolutely. In general, their music is just Egyptian mythology. You know, Amun-Ra, Tutankhamun.
Right.
But they had one song in particular. The lyric in the song is, "There is no God but God," which is a very popular phrase in Islam. There's no God but the one true God, is what they're saying.
Mm-hmm.
Don't believe in other gods, believe in the one God.
The one true God. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also popular in Judaism.
Oh, well, there you go. I mean, all these religions are linked. Judaism, Islam, Christianity.
Yep. But we started
We're all from the same family. Come on.
Yeah, but we started it.
Why we gotta fight? Anyway.
But Jews did it first. just want to put it out there.
Fucking hipsters, dude. We did it before. It's cool.
I listened to the EP.
I only like the demo. You like the Bible demo. The early version.
Yeah.
So he experimented with it and just, there is no God but God. And he just cut off the last two words and just said, there is no God. And so he wasn't necessarily being anti-Islam. He was just playing with Islamic sayings and Islamic prayer and stuff like that. That's the context of it. All right. Okay. So out of five Nimrods, what would you rate Atba al-Namrud?
I would rate it 3 out of 5 Nimrods.
Okay.
Because fuck scary movies. And that fucking scary noise. I don't like it. I don't like it at all. And also, like, Cookie Monster growls are not my favorite.
Okay.
All seriousness, it's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
I just wouldn't seek it out.
Yeah,
that's so fair. That's why it's 3 out of 5 for me.
I don't know how we did this, but similar to you, where you picked their first album, this was their first EP.
Wow.
I wouldn't say it's their breakout hit because they're still extremely underground.
Mm-hmm.
But it's the first, and they have evolved a little bit. They still retain black metal mixed with Arabic sounds. But this is a very early, rough version, almost like a demo of what they eventually became. Yeah, I wanted to choose this one because it sounds like shit. It sounds like black metal. It sounds like black metal used to sound.
Mm-hmm.
I dig the song too, and it's not perfect. And I get why you would say 3 out of 5. So that's fair. Absolutely fair.
It's interesting how we like totally mind melded.
Yeah, we chose two groups that, you know, social justice, like anti-establishment and speaking up for what they believe in. And we chose songs that was the beginnings.
Yeah. Happy accident.
Yeah. So anyway, happy Arab American Heritage Month.
Mm-hmm.
I've learned a few things. I still have a long way to go when it comes to learning about Arab culture, Arab countries, the religion of Islam. I don't know enough about it, and that's unfortunate, and I wish I knew more. And really, the best way is, let's go to an Arabic country.
Yay!
Let's travel.
Yes, please.
I would love to see it, eat the food, talk to the people, and just get a sense. Mm-hmm. What is it like?
I totally would too.
Okay, see you. Thank you for listening to Two Songs, One Couple.
If you like what you hear and you want more, find us on
Spotify,
Apple Podcasts,
twosongsonecouple.com,
Facebook,
Twitter,
and Instagram.
Thank you very much.
Bye.
Boom. No. Playing the flute, here's a snake flying in the sky.